So this morning, we've been looking at Revelation. Who's enjoyed some of the things coming out of Revelation, the book of Revelation? I've tried not to make it too deep. And this morning, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. And because I think some parts of Revelation, you just got to do that because just to give you some understanding. But there's a lot of points in it. So if you want to do a full study, I heard some people have bought some books on Revelation. That's great. But that's not my purpose in this series, or Shane and my purpose. Shane was great last week, I hear. Did a great job, so that's awesome. And I'll probably pick up on his rainbow, but with a little different slant this morning as well. But let's have a look at the book of, let's go to chapter 6 of Revelation. So if the overhead man, go to the first two verses, chapter 6. This is the New King James Version. And it says this. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud, like thunderous voice, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out, what did he go out doing? Conquering and to conquer. Conquering and to conquer. The title of my message is this morning that we are to be a people that are conquering and to conquer. That we are conquering here on earth and finally we conquer. The two go hand in hand, in fact. They are both required, as we're going to look at this morning, and I will go into what the white horse means and various things. As the Lamb unseals, all right, as the Lord Jesus unseals, He initially releases four horsemen. We are mostly going to concentrate on the first horseman today from the verses that I've read. However, I would like to draw your attention briefly to some of the other things. So let's look at this. Number one, I'm going to look at the first seal in particular, which is the white horse and its rider. And but there's four horses. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Then I want to talk, before we finish, I'm going to go back to Pergamos because I think it has real value here in the sense of this particular message about, which is really Jesus on the horse, which I'll explain. Because the Pergamos church, probably the closest church to the church that we have in the Western world. And so I want to talk from that angle before we close today. And so let's just look at what these four horses represent. Briefly, as I said, the white horse is a spirit of conquest. Now we're going to talk about Jesus in a minute, but it's like race against race, and I don't mean racing. I mean like who's seen the movie Lincoln? I'm talking about where there's uprisings where one race thinks that they're better than another race. That's happened. They are four human. There's four human constants throughout history. One of them is that I'm better than you. See, Emmett and I like to do a few weights, but he's got bigger muscles than me. I'm just stirring now. So he thinks he can. We'll go to the gym one day. We'll see. Anyway, you see what I'm talking about? We love to have the better of one another, don't we? And we do it sarcastically and cynically. But we can take it too far, and that's where sin comes in. And that's why there's four constants in human history, which brings to the conclusion, because we're talking about Revelation, so we're talking about the conclusion of all things, right? The conclusion toward the end of time. And so there's four constants. The first one is this uprising or race against race. There's religious superiority. There's a fair bit of that going on right now in our world, is there not? You know, there's gender wars. Nah, no one's like that here. I thought it went real quiet. Workplace uprisings. There's anything opposed to peace and the healing of the gospel, it's going to happen, right? And that's important, that part right there, because we're going to talk about that mostly. But the final conquest being the worldwide movement of the gospel of the kingdom as it goes forward through all nations. That's the white horse and its rider, which we're going to talk about. It's an amazing thing. Second, there's a red horse. There's a spirit of war. I mean, how many wars are going on right now that we don't even know about? There's murder, there's violence, there's significant bloodshed, which continues right through to Armageddon. Armageddon is not just a movie. It is in the Bible. That's where they got it from. They steal a lot of good stuff from the Bible. And the final overthrow of the devil, Revelation 16:16, for those of you who want to know about that. The black horse. All right, I'm just giving the four constants. Spirit of famine. Wow, we're blessed, aren't we, living in Australia? How many nations go without food? How many people? Well, you know the statistics. Spirit of famine, uncertainty economically. Now, this is interesting because there's uncertainty economically, the world on rations until the coming of Christ. Now, this is towards the tribulation. But so the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the world goes on more and more rations. The world becomes more and more unstable. All these things start to rev up. Now, we've seen all these things. Why are they started already? Because the seals are already open. They're not just open later for a time. They're actually open already. Acts actually talks about this. Acts 7, and I'm going to get there in a little while. So the last one, did I say the pale horse, the spirit of death? Oh, let's not go there. Pestilence, plagues, violent taking of life. Death is a given for each of us. However, the important thing to note is that even if we are at the end of tribulation, let's say that we're in tribulation and we're coming towards the end of tribulation, our persevering faith in Christ, if we have Christ with us, we end up being, it's a bit like in the old part of Israel where they had the blood on the post, the Holy Spirit would go past them, you would be saved. There is good reason to follow the living God. Ultimately, he is the giver and taker of all life. And so today, yes, there's love, but there's also got to be a balance of the truth of the gospel of his holiness. It's true. The word of God. It's not just one without the other. We'll talk about this. Better get on. Come with me to Matthew 24. Just remember that everything increases. So all these four things, they increase in the world as time comes to an end. In Matthew 24, and of course we don't know when Jesus is coming back. Jesus doesn't even know. So don't even go there. Just love God. Persevere in him. Keep your faith in him and let everything else just work itself out. Don't go to Revelation and try and go, well, what about this? What about that? Well, no scholar that I've looked at knows all the answers. They're arguing with one another like it's the be-all and end-all. Just love Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 4. This is Jesus talking about the end of time. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes." See how the Bible always uses scripture to back itself up? There's always, when it's serious, you can always look and see where else is it talked about in scripture. There will always be another place. So Jesus is talking about this, and here in Revelation, it's there as well. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Some of you are going to die. Well, we probably won't be there, but anyway. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and he will hate, and you will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? He who endures. He who? And the last verse, which is really a key to the white horse and the rider. And this gospel of the kingdom, say it with me, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. For those of you who don't think God's a loving God, it's right there. He wants to be loving, but he's still the man the Spirit of God is still have ultimate control because he started the universe. He is the one that holds the key to life and death. And so we must keep that in perspective. So back to the first seal from the Message Bible, of those first two verses that I read out in chapter 6. I watched while the Lamb ripped off the first of the seven seals. I heard one of the animals roar, "Come out!" I looked, I saw a white horse. Its rider carried a bow and was given a victory garland. He rode off victorious, conquering right and left. Conquering, even on the darkest of days, when Stephen was to be martyred. I'm talking about Stephen in the Bible. For his belief in God. Whilst they were persecuting him with their words and with stones which eventually killed him, he said, look, he's having a hard time. No doubt about that. Right? I don't know how he managed to do this, but I reckon God had a reason. We'll get to it. And he goes, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Revelation 6:10, sixth seal, you can read it again. It's right there. There are things that are not right on the earth. Would you agree with me? There are things that are great injustices. But those injustices will come to an end. When Christ returns the second time, all injustices will be dealt with. He is conquering and the final conqueror. We just don't see it that way all the time in the here and now, do we, if we're honest with ourselves? We just can't see it. And that's where we've simply got to keep our faith and trust and go, you know what, Lord, I trust you. Because we've got to recognize too that a lot of these things happen because people have their own mindsets, and the more that you go away from God, what's going to happen? Sin is going to enter their hearts, and the more sin enters the hearts, the more they become deceptive, conniving, and death is not far from them, right? And so is there any reason why there's terrorism and all these things when we go away from what God had created us to be? So under the effects of the four horsemen, the conqueror, the wars, the famines, the economic insecurities, and even though through death of loved ones, and there's a whole part on martyrs. In fact, 300,000 martyrs, they reckon, are dying each year for the sake of the gospel. You wouldn't know that here in Australia. 300,000. And it seems unfair. That's what happens with the sin of man. The Antichrist spirit eventually gets a hold of people when they go down that road. But God still uses these factors to the glory of his name. As tough as we see it, God's still able to work and bring a family member to Christ when something atrocity happens. But God's still moving, because why? There's the horse and the rider. The gospel of the kingdom of God still goes throughout the earth and is still the most powerful thing that has ever been, ever will be, and ever will, is going to be. And so let's look at this. Psalm 110 is an interesting verse before we go to the white horse and the rider. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Which brings me to the white horse and rider. The end of the verse says this, he went out what? Conquering and to conquer. And we have a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The white horse symbolizes the Holy Spirit's power. And the rider symbolizes the Word of God. The rider governs the horse. The horse upholds the rider. All right? The rider is what? The Word of God. The horse is what? The Holy Spirit. Rider is? Let's get this. The Word of God. Rider is? The horse is? Holy Spirit. One doesn't work without the other. The horse and rider work together because, look, the Spirit and the Word work together in the purposes of God in the earth. Emma was sharing, I think she's next door, isn't she? Emma Wilkinson. Yeah. Emma was sharing a story with some of us. We had a small meeting, and she was saying how she had spoken the word and was talking about healings and things. And she happened to mention to the children that she was leading that she hadn't been able to hear out of her, I think it was her right ear. And I want you to get this. She'd spoken the word. Then one of the kids goes, "Can we pray for you, teacher?" And it was little Abby Elliott, went up and laid hands, and the kids got around. She didn't ask for this to happen, but I want you to see what's happening here as well in our church, the big picture. And they got around her, and Abby just said, Jesus, you're Emma, Jesus, heal. Amen. You know, Emma said she immediately felt the presence of God, the power of God, and she's been able to hear ever since. Wow. The Word and the Spirit go and work together. The Word goes forth, faith comes into our hearts, and the Spirit, if we just have the Spirit, something's going to be missing. If we just have the Word, it's going to be dry and dead. But together, wow, that's the kingdom of God coming to earth. That's the conquering. That's the conquering, guys. Who'd like to see more conquering in their lives? Where each one of you can lay hands on the sick. Each one of you can pray for whatever the situation is, and you can see God conquering. Because He's in victory and He's the final victory. Put it another way. You know, I was at, I've got time for one quick more story. I was at, because there's some, I want you to understand too that, you know, we've been on this journey as a church, I guess, for a little while, and there's been a lot of things happening. If you've got something where you're praying in your connect groups or out on the street or wherever it is, can you please let me know? Send me an email. See Helen after church. I need to know because I'd love to keep these stories going. Can you do that? Can you help me? I'd really appreciate it. I was at C3 Langford last week, which is why I wasn't here. And I'd just been asking God, how do I do it? And right at the last minute, I felt like I'm going to talk about my leg. Remember, my leg got healed in this church. It was kind of like the start of something of more healings for all of us, and realizing that God's alive. He wants to help us do life well. I didn't have to go to Africa, you know, with a big boot on my leg. Thank you, Jesus. And so I had the picture. My daughter had sent it to me, and she'd written, "I'm disabled" on it. And I put it up on the screen, and they all go, "What's all this about?" And so I told them what happened. I told them that people from the church came and prayed for me after the service, and I felt it. You know, I said to Andrew, "I think it's feeling better." And so I told them that story at the end of the meeting. The end of the meeting, I said, if you want to, I'm going to dismiss it, you know, we do, 1:30. And I said, I'll pray for you. You know, the altar was full. There was all these people that needed healing. It was amazing. Well, I just thought, well, obviously, you know, God's going to do something. I wasn't thinking, God, please help me. You know, anyway, I prayed for this lady. She said, "I've never been on an altar call before in my life. I'm a brand new, this is like the first time I've been in church. Someone brought me to church, I've made a decision, but that's it." And she said, I've got osteo, is it the worst, chronic osteoarthritis, is that it? Yeah. In her hips, in her back, and her two thumbs, they were just like, they couldn't hardly move. They were just stuck there. And so I just prayed, I didn't feel a thing. But you know, tears came rolling down her eye, down her face. And I talked to her, just, you know, only 30-second prayer. I didn't feel anything. Like I said, I thought, oh, God's not doing anything. And she says, "For the first time, I've got no pain at all in my back. None. It's gone." And then she starts wiggling her thumbs like this. I'm going, come on, Lord. And I don't say that because it's me. I say it because we all have the same power within inside of us. We are conquering and we're conquerors. I must have put the font too small. I need my glasses to see what I'm doing this morning. Toward the end of the, like I said, towards the end of it was just a fantastic. Other people got healed. The shoulders healed. There's a lot of things happened. You can talk to Pastor Clinton or some of the people if you know them there. See, the Spirit and the Word work together in the purposes of God on the earth. The Spirit of the Word and the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit and the Word work what? Together. Together. And so the white horse is the Spirit of the Gospel of the Kingdom, the Spirit of awakening. You see, if this kind of thing happens, what I've just talked about, who thinks people are going to go, well, maybe gods are real? So that when the Word and the Spirit are together and when we're doing what Jesus wanted us to do on the earth, at least have a go. More people are going to be in the kingdom of God. Wow. Next week, wait till I give you the stats on the amount of increase in earthquakes, but that's next week. Just to scare you a little bit into the kingdom of God. Oh, I better get back on track. The rider had a bow and a look. I don't care what you say. If a rider's got a bow, he's got to have arrows. What's a rider with no arrows? I mean, this is the gospel of the kingdom. This is an advancement of the kingdom of God. He's got to have... Now, hit you in the heart. You know, I like Arrow, the show. Has anyone watched Arrow? No one, because it's not out yet. Let's just say that my son gets these copies from somewhere. Anyway, so I've watched the whole series, and it's really quite pathetic, but he's deadly accurate. Apple on the wall every time. He goes back to his training ground. They have flashbacks of how it all happened out of immense persecution and how he has to fight for his survival and how he becomes the best archer in the whole of the island where he's at. And you know, our training ground is the time that we have in sacrifice before our God. Our training ground is when we read our Word, so that the Word and the Spirit work hand in hand, so that when we shoot our arrows, when we're talking to someone, it penetrates people's hearts. You see, the rider went out with his bow and his arrows because he was penetrating hearts so that the gospel of the kingdom of God would affect as many who would receive him. You wondered where that was going, didn't you? See, the Psalms speak of God's arrows sticking fast in him. God has a bow and shoots arrows of conviction into the hearts of both sinners and saints alike. We all need awakening. We sing about it. See, the heart is God's target. There's no bloodshed. Listen to me here. There is no bloodshed when the gospel of the kingdom is at work through the Word and the Spirit. It's not that kind of war. And he also has a crown. It's the victor's crown. As the Message Bible describes, it's the wreath of a conqueror. He likes to watch the Olympics and see those guys. And what happens? They love to hang around their necks, don't they? And the girls always have their flowers and everything else. And it's something to be, you know, we praise it in some ways. It's the same crown spoken of in Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and he will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto, and he will give you the crown of Be faithful unto. Jesus is no longer crowned with thorns and spat on. He is crowned with glory and honor. And the final victor is our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he sat on him. He who sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He defeats all his enemies. Christ is calling for us to be overcomers, to go from victory to victory. Why? Because we have the Word and the Spirit. We don't just have one. We don't become dry, boring. No one wants to talk to type people. We're alive because we have the Word and the Spirit operating in our lives. And because we have faith through the Spirit of God, we put the Word of God into action, because we can do those things that Christ did. Amen? Amen? We can overcome. We can overcome because of what Christ has done for us. We're heirs of God. What an incredible thing. And he went out conquering and conquer. My third point, let's go, conquering and conquer. Who'd like to do some more conquering before they die? To put it, you know, kind of like, well, we're all going to go there, but who'd like to have some more conquests for the Lord? So we're living in this age of compromise. I don't think there'd be anyone that would disagree with me. And that compromise affects the church and its people. And the church in Pergamos in Revelation 2:12 was that church. There are certain things we are not to compromise on. Pergamos means two things. You can go back to Revelation 2 if you'd like to. Married to worldly power. And second, which picks up on the white rider, and the worldly view. One of the things, which is height, elevation, lofty, castle, higher tower, exaltation. Exalting themselves above the Lord. And so politically, Pergamos was an important city. And the governor had the power of life and death over people. And the emperor worship was essential. So they worshipped the emperor, okay? They didn't worship God. And so there was people being persecuted. This is way back, the early church, right? And so the Christians literally faced the sword of death during this period from Caesar. And if they didn't bow down to the emperor. And Satan's purpose in life is to what? To guide us or kind of sneakily direct us to let go of Jesus. Satan's purpose, right? Get Jesus as far away from those people as possible. Because he's the only one that I know that I can't defeat. And so, the Pergamos of old, there was also the altar of Zeus, which overlooked the city, and the cult of Asclepius, which was designated savior, where there's a symbol of a serpent. It was totally satanic. They exalted all these things wrongly. No worship of. If you didn't worship, you were persecuted or worse. And then there's Balaam, was also mentioned in Revelation 2:14. He was the guy who hired Balak, king of the Moabites, to curse Israel on their way to the promised land. Guess what? He couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? Because God's favor, God's hand was on them. So what did he do instead? He said, well, why don't you try this? There's all those lovely ladies over there. Oh, look, it won't matter. You can worship their idols as well as God. You see, if the devil can't get out of you from one angle, he'll try another way. Immorality. Here's the crunch. If Satan can't defeat the church through persecution, he will turn to seduction. Seduction or compromise? Now, everyone here is aware that seduction is a massive issue here at the church today. I'm not talking about just here, I'm talking everywhere. Immorality, adultery, fornication, pornography, unclean acts, idolatry, allowing other things to have primary place in our heart. And so the Balaam crowd will say, it's okay, everyone else is doing it. Who said you can't have that? It really doesn't matter. We are not to accommodate certain things the world has and does. There are certain standards Jesus has put in place that he knows will lead for us to be conquering. Yeah? Who'd like to be conquering? Conquering. And so we watch what we watch the relationships that we're building. We watch those ones that we form close relationships with because we want to be what? Conquering. And finally, why? Because we will conquer. And then there's all the other things, of course. You know, we can put our business, can't we, before our God, if we really think about it. There's so many things that we can exalt above, which is idolatry. Exactly the same. Who knows? The human history hasn't changed that much. We try, but we're not that good. That's why God's coming back. So when we're conquering and conquer, we face up to the areas in our life that are contrary to the Word of God, so that His Spirit can use us to build the kingdom. And so we repent or face not Caesar's sword, but Christ's. And I haven't got time to go into it, but the Christ is a two-edged sword. It's the Word of God. I'd rather face Christ's sword now. Allow the Word of God to purge me. And so there's got to be, sometimes there's got to be change in our thinking, change in our behavior. Let's call sin, Yana, if you can come for a moment. Call sin, sin. Talk to your friends and go, well, you know, that's not what the Bible says. Because ultimately we want to be a people that are conquering, do we not? And if we're going to be conquering, we have certain standards so that the gospel of the kingdom goes forth. Allow his arrows to stick in your heart this morning. You just bow your heads for a moment while you're seated there. Allow his promise. You know, the promise of his rainbow. I saw it a couple of days ago after that storm. His covenant for godly men is having the final victory. Let's walk in victory. Let's be a people that have victory on their lips because they're conquering and they conquer. See, God is conquering even on dark days. Yes, there's martyrs. Yes, there's things that are unfair. Yes, there's things that are going wrong. But as I discussed, the heart of man is evil the further it gets away from God. And that's why God comes in the final conquering and conquer phase, where there is the battle of Armageddon, where the world does come to its final conclusion as we know it. The white horse and rider, the balance of the Word and Spirit in our lives. And we conquer, and we conquer, and we conquer because we won't compromise or be seduced by the world and its ways. We live for a higher purpose. We live for what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Good news. Maybe you're here today. You haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life. Maybe today you're here. You know that you're actually away from God. You're doing things contrary to the Word of God in your life. Will you today turn and say, I will receive Jesus as Lord of my life? Will you put him back as number one? Not on the side, not on the fence, not somewhere down the line. Because God wants you to be conquering now and forevermore. If you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, this morning, you want to turn back to Him today. On the count of three, I'd ask you to pop up your hand. I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. One, two, three. Is there anyone today? Thank you, Jesus. Everyone else's eyes are closed. Just give me a wave. I'll see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand on our feet for a moment? Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, Father God, come on, let's raise our hands. Father God, Lord, I pray that we would be a conquering and conquer people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to conquer, Lord. Lord, those things that are in your word, I pray that we would together do them purposely for you. Lord, that we would have the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God on our lips. When we meet with people, Father, oh, when we have conversations, Lord, that you will quicken quicken things to our mind by your Spirit so that we can spread the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, so that we too, each one of us, will have stories of conquering here on earth, so that we will know the final victory as well. Thank you, Lord, that you are a totally fair God, that you are totally upright, that you are totally loving and totally holy. And Lord, I thank you that we have the best news possible. It's conquering news. It's victorious. And we will worship you all the days of our life. As for me and my household, we will serve you, Lord. People of God said, amen. God bless you, church.